finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Good morning. I am on my drive over to my office right now. I'm so excited for today. I've got a room full of people who are... many of which who have flown in, and it's my Titans of Industry mastermind, and it's cool because I only let 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs come to it, and the reason is because you start solving different problems when you start actually getting in the 7- and 8-figure range, right? Like, I mean, think about it, like a brand new entrepreneur, what are they trying to figure out? They're trying to figure out how to build a product. That's really it, right? And it might take a few products or a lot of products before they actually have one where the market's like, oh my gosh, I want to buy that in volume, right? Like, you can pretty much sell anything onesie twosies, but to like actually build something that scales the product going off the shelves, that's a totally different thing. And so that's why I put that. A few people have been kind of frustrated with me that I won't let them in, but I'm like, look, you know, it's a different set of problems, right? When you start, it's not, I hate the phrase. I've made fun of it so much, so I'm sure I've said it on this podcast. But you know that phrase, more money, more problems. Bull crap, man. That is such a dumb belief. More money, more problems. It's more money, different problems. And problems aren't all created equal either, right? You don't have to solve every problem. You don't. Not all problems are worth solving, right? And that's true for every phase. Half of what we have to figure out when you're like doing anything in life is like discerning between the problems that are distractions and the problems that are actually worth doing something about, right? So anyway, so I'm driving over to Titans right now. Titans of Industry, if you're interested, or if you want to learn more info, go to titansofindustry.com. Robbie Summers and I have actually partnered, and we've been helping people. We've been like doing their sales for him, which has been super cool. He's like best in the world at sales, which is exciting. Closed $100 million over the phone on his own. It's nuts. I've kind of assembled like a dream team lineup. So when someone joins Titans, this is something, you know, I always love that everything I've ever sold that's been amazing morphs and changes after I've started selling it, right? And Titans is no different. And so this is only in the last like 2 months that I really started doing this. I decided that I would have like a dream team lineup. So I have perhaps spent, I delayed the launch of Titans of Industry, my mastermind, for a long time, and probably perhaps too long, but I wanted it to be different, right? I don't want it to be the same as every other freaking mastermind that's out there. It's like, it still has to have the mastermind component, otherwise it won't be a mastermind, right? And that's a term from Napoleon Hill. On what that really is and what that really means. But I was like, how can I change it? Like, how can I be really unique compared to what everyone else does with it? So what I did is I brought together a group of people that would be otherwise very challenging to reach. And what I did is I made it so that when you join Titans, you go through kind of like this assembly line that just wildly upgrades your business as part of onboarding. Like, you're not even in the mastermind part yet. And so what happens is when somebody joins, they spend half a day with me, and I'm writing the most essential pieces of copy for them and with them. We are putting together like a quarterly marketing cadence, which I find most companies don't have. And so they're always like, I need more leads. I'm like, cool, well, tell me what your plan, like most companies don't have a freaking true marketing plan. What they have is they got a social media plan. They're like, well, I post every day. And I'm like, hey, it's not enough. Not that it has to burn you out. And I don't go tell everyone to launch 24/7, you know, but like they don't have a plan. So anyway, with me, I usually spend the first half of the day cleaning their offers, going through all of them, walking through their funnels, cleaning the funnels up, change this, tweak that. What I really do with them though is we do a lot of positioning. You know, if you sell something similar as to someone else, like even remotely similar, even if it's really not, and a customer doesn't really usually see that. Like the crazies will, but most, the mass public, your mass market's not actually going to go, oh, I can clearly see the difference between why you're better and this person is not over here. Most of the time they're just looking at price, unless you find some other way to position yourself, right? So that's what I do with people really the first half of the time. But then when I'm done with them, so check this out. And the reason I'm saying this to you is because I want you to like think about what you could do to wildly change whatever you sell simply by changing onboarding or by bringing in people that are not your expertise, you know, by bringing people that are not your expertise. So check this out. So what happens is they first go through me, right? And I feel like this is, it's the Steve station, right? So someone goes through the Steve station. Then after that, they go over to Jake Leslie. And if you don't know who he is, he and I were basically, we were the ones that built the funnels at ClickFunnels. Russell would kind of sketch it out or sometimes he'd kind of like be involved in the first page. And then Jake and I, I'd build it, he would design it, and Jake would design it. And I don't know, we were just the dynamic duo over there. So he recently, hopefully it's okay if I say this, but he recently left ClickFunnels as an employee. And he and I started a funnel agency, which has been so fun. We've been building funnels for people, which is something I have not offered for 5 years. Only when someone's like begged. So we're actually officially building funnels for people now, which is awesome. FunnelTactics.com. If you want Jake and I to personally build your funnel, we've been there, done that, been there for 10 years. So anyway, I'm not trying to pitch you, huh? Sorry. But I want you to know, well, I'm not sorry. If you want us to build a freaking awesome funnel, we're good at it. I want you just to see what I'm walking people through. So next, what they do after they go through me, the titan of industry, they go to Jake, and Jake basically does a rebuild on whatever their main converting funnel is, or the equivalent of their brand page. So like stevejlarson.com, right? Whatever the equivalent, you know, marleyjacks.com, right? Does that make sense? Whatever the equivalent of their page is, whatever the equivalent of their anyway, so, but they get to choose. So we're going to do a major facelift with Jake on all of their assets for their main funnel or their personal branding page. It's pretty cool. That, I will tell you, as a co-owner of FunnelTactics.com, we usually charge quite a lot for it. Quite a lot. We are not the cheapest option on the block. We are very good at what we do. Then what the person does is they go over to John Parks. So if you know who John Parks is, he's the guy that runs all of ClickFunnels ads. He has profitably spent $150 million in Facebook ads. The amount of money that John Parks runs and manages is frankly mind-boggling. Like most people with that amount of money, you'd be rich forever, right? And you know what I mean? Like, and that's his ad budget. It's ridiculous how much money he owns and that he runs and such. And so, anyway, so what John does is John goes and he personally does an audit of all of their ads. Ads are still amazing, right? Ads still work, but they have absolutely changed, and they've changed significantly in the last, you know, couple months. Especially over the last really 2 years, right? So John Parks is going in and literally opening up the person's like ads manager and walking through their ads. I mean, I gotta be honest, if you're running a lot of ads, that alone is worth joining Titans. Because he goes through and he tells you, you should be running these ads. Stop running these ads. These are the ad strategies that fit you and your funnel and your business the best. These are the ad strategies that just never do. You're gonna waste all your money. Right. And so it's been a really cool experience. Anyway, so first they go through Jake Leslie, then John Parks. Then after that, they go to Robbie Summers. And Robbie Summers goes in and says, you know what? I'm going to audit your entire sales team. And so he listens to sales pitches. He listens to sales calls and scripts. He is walking through and helping people see where they're having massive holes in their sales structure, right? Which is one of the reasons why entrepreneurs burn out, is because they're the ones that just solely own all of sales still, right? And it's like, you can't do that, right? Don't be the sales team as the business owner or the entrepreneur, right? Anyway, I'm hoping that by kind of sharing some of this stuff, you're like, oh, I get it. I understand why, you know, why I burn out, or I understand why my own onboarding isn't amazing. Like, this is just onboarding. I'm not even done, right? Then what they do to that is they go to Marley Jacks. Marley Jacks, the wonderful Marley, she goes through and she helps them write their next 10 YouTube titles, which is one of the hardest things to do, is figuring out what to make in YouTube that will rank with the highest probability. And so she audits their organic content, and she does a massive audit of it, shows what issues and holes are in there, and then writes for them next 10 YouTube titles, which is amazing. Not even done yet. After that, they go to Sean Malone, co-founder of Flowchat. They have they've dissected literally a million DMs and have found the, without any competition, they have found the DMs that cause people to say, yeah, I'll book a call, or yeah, I'll come to your challenge, or of course we'll come to the webinar, or sure, we'll get tickets to your event, right? DMs are not created equally. We all know what it's like to get spammed by them, but that doesn't mean the channel is bad. And so what Sean does is he goes in and he helps write their DM scripts for their business, which is nuts, right? We're not even done yet, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages and sizes. All right, after that, then they go over to Matt Pete. Matt Pete is currently right now Russell Brunson's social media producer. Matt Pete produces for them 40 to 50 shorts that are meant to go get them more brand and lead flow. That's the onboarding of Titans. It's insane. It's awesome. And a lot of it's done in a way so that someone doesn't have to go, ooh, I have to know all this stuff. It's like, no. I literally just brought in the experts, and not just the experts, it's the who's who of the big people who are doing it, right? So I'm trying to bring something to light here. So I recognize you might be like, Steve just pitched us for 12 minutes. No. Okay. If it's speaking to you, sure. I got no shame in that. We're good at what we do, and I'm not going to apologize for it, right? And you shouldn't either. If your stuff is good, don't apologize for it. Be abrasively marketing, right? Here's my point. I learned this back when I was there's a famous program in the space, if you're not aware of it. It's called Two Comma Club Coaching, and it was one of those projects. It took me 6 months to structure and organize that program. It was back when I was working at ClickFunnels, and what I did is I watched literally every single product that Russell had put out, like every course, every coaching program he'd ever put out across 12 years. And I watched all of it, and I didn't just watch it. I listened, and I would like, it's funny because if I did it in his office, it took me 6 months to do it. It's one of the things I was doing in between building funnels, is I was listening to all this stuff, and every time I would hear him say something that was just like this massive mic drop, I would chop it out of the video, and I would go to Google Sheet, and I would write, okay, on this video from this minute and second to this minute and second, chop it out and title it this, and then I would go to the next piece, right? So I'd go to the next part, right? And the next part, I'd just press play again, right? And I'd listen from the next minute and second to the next minute and second, what they say here. And I did that for 6 months, and I structured and organized all of Russell's stuff. So it didn't matter what program you're listening to, I organized them by topic. And so I was like, here is all the places Russell's taught offers. Here's all the places Russell has taught, you know, ascension and value ladder. Here's all the places. That's one of the reasons I knew his stuff so well. And so when I did that, that became the curriculum for the first Two Comma Club coaching program. That program was interesting to watch. So, right, we're talking about onboarding. All right. Think about this. So we're talking about onboarding. All right, so check it out. Or rather, there's a key piece here.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
I get to with this. When I saw Russell sell the Two Comma Club coaching program, it's not right. Then it got changed to 2CCX coaching. But the original one was two Comma Club coaching. So I gave him, I was like, "Check it out. You know, here's the stuff that's going to go, sorry, I was driving and I had to pay attention here. Basically what I did is I saw that for the offer that he went and sold for two comic book coaching was $18,000. Okay. It was 18 grand. And the $18,000 program wasn't just a login to the videos that I had produced, right? They're Russell's, they're not mine, right? But I'd say that I produced them. And it wasn't just a login for 18 minutes. That's terrible. That's not a good offer. Who wants that, right? What he did is he started putting people in the offer. Now, this is one of the things that like exploded the Two Comma Club coaching program. When it first got recreated to Two Comma Club Coach or Two Comma Club X, one of the things that did it is people. I don't know if you remember, so Russell's on stage, and you may have not seen this, and I recognize that most people listening to this podcast may have not have been in the room, but it was at a Funnel Hacking Live, and he's like, "You're going to get the Two Comma Club coaching, plus you're going to get Steve Larson as one of the coaches to help you with your funnels." Right, and then Russell goes, "Then you're gonna have John Parks in there to help you with your ads, and they're gonna have who's the other one? I think it was Alex Sharfin. Then you're gonna have Alex Sharfin in there, who's gonna help you with this, you know, with your business management and planning, you know." And he started, and when we started having people as things in the offer and access to specific, that's what exploded it. Right. And I remember looking at this and just earmarking it and going, "Wow, when I'm going to go sell something that's a little more high ticket ish, is there a way for me to get specific people on board?" Because, you know, having curriculum and a course and things people log into is great. You know, I still go through courses. I'll listen to them, right? I don't do it as much as I used to. I would rather go to the person. Well, there are certain people that don't want to talk to someone and they just want to listen to a course. There's also people who want to go to the experts and not guess, right? It is amazing to me how many people have still not read in Russell's programs his $7 books. You know, and I'm like, man, you didn't read a $7 book and instead spent how much money on a mastermind, right? And like, it's just a true fact, right? That's a lot of people are that way. And so I just wanted to bring up the entire point of this podcast. I got to get out now, but the entire point of this podcast is that, you know, you do not have to be, nor should you try to be the expert in every single aspect of whatever that your customer needs. Right, an entrepreneur, if you look up what an entrepreneur actually means, like the definition, what they do is they organize things into a more valuable thing. They literally take stuff and organize it in a more valuable way. That doesn't mean it has to be courses. That doesn't mean it has to be you knowing everything. That doesn't mean how you, right? A value creator does not mean that you are the expert in all. You're not the end all be all in knowing everything. This is such a key thing to understand. It's such a key thing to understand because I went off and started doing something similar like a year or two after, like the timeline of what I'm telling you all this. And that is when my stuff really started taking off. That's when my stuff really started taking off. I started pulling together experts on certain topics and, you know, I'd be like, hey, do you agree? You know, can you agree to come in and do this stuff? Can you do a workshop for my people as part of this offer? Could you come in and do the, you know, and organizing people. And I think one of the most beautiful aspects of capitalism is collaboration, right? It's like, it's at the heart of capitalism, right? It's people working together. And so I started remembering all this stuff and all these lessons. That's when I was like, oh my gosh, what if I did that again for Titans? How can I add people into the offer, right? And as a mastermind, someone might be like, well, you already do that because it's a mastermind. It's like, it's networking. Like, well, that's already going to happen and I'm going to facilitate that happening. But who are the industry experts? Because, and the way that I really did it was I started asking, okay, every time my Titans of industry leave a mastermind, what are the questions that I'm still hearing them ask? Or what are the things that they are not knowing how to implement, right? Maybe they understand the strategy, but they're like, oh my gosh, now I have to go learn how to run ads, or now I have to go learn how to whatever. And I'm like, what if I was to find the person that knows the thing and the top experts and start to aggregate the top experts and put it in a way so that when someone joins, they're already getting literally that person's own eyes and time, which you would have to pay a ton for, right? That's crazy cool. That's awesome. Then it also introduces that person. So in the future, when they're like, oh my gosh, I've got a question about ads, they know they can go to John Parks, or they know they can go to, I got a funnel design question. Oh man, I'm going to go to Jake Leslie. All right. Or, oh man, I got a sales question. It's like, oh my gosh, Robbie Summers is in this thing. Or, oh my God, I got organic content questions. Who's grown a YouTube channel to a sizable amount? Oh my gosh, Marley's in here. Right? I need shorts. I need tons of shorts for social media now. It's like, oh my gosh, Matt Pete is a part of this as well. You get what I'm saying? Or DMs, Sean Malone. And I'm trying that right there is what started making Titans sing. So if you have an offer that you know is good, or you have a solution to a problem that is absolutely epic, but it's not necessarily taking off, the thing I wanted to bring up with this podcast is to consider trying to collaborate with people, right, in a way that serves the customer but also scratches the back of the person who's coming to collaborate with you, right? I've got deals, obviously, with each individual big person who's coming into Titans, obviously, right? And so several of them have joined Titans. It's cool to see what's happened with that. My offers have absolutely taken off the most when I involve industry leaders. In fact, I have two other offers that just hit me. It's like, my gosh, this is just such a pattern. As I've been looking backwards on this, it's like, oh yeah, I should do this with Titans. But as I've looked backwards, I'm like, oh, it's not just Titans that I've done this with that has made my offers totally sing. It is any time, like, for example, there was a summit that I used to do It's not up anymore, but I should put it back up. It's so good. I called it Your Final Offer. If you go to the .com now, I don't even remember if it's up or anything. But what I did is I went to 30 experts in, like, legitimate experts inside the internet marketing space. And I said, hey, let's say that you can only work for 90 more days. What would your final offer be so that you could fund the rest of your life? Like, let's say you cannot work on day 91 from right now. What would you do over the next 90 days? And the thing with this is, like, I went and I asked 30 experts, right? And because it was 30 experts and not just me, like, that's a good hook, right? That's a really good prompt to go ask that. It took off. I had 16,000 people opt into that thing, and I pushed it one time, which is stupid. Looking back on it now, I'm like, why did I do that? You know, I should have done more of that. But I was like, that's interesting that blew up so much. There's another big thing that I did. This one was free. It was an affiliate marketing training. And I went to all these experts on different traffic strategies. And I said, hey, would you come in and teach how you would be an affiliate using the traffic strategy you're an expert in? And I laced it across 30 days. And these 30 days, you know, they came in and said, they got a new, if you, I can't remember, I think it was like affiliateoutrage.com or something like that. It's not up anymore either. But I went and I should turn these things back on. They were so good. Basically, the person got a new video every single day, and it was a new expert every day saying, here's how I would be an affiliate, right? And at the end, I had 2,200 people sign up to be an affiliate for my product because of that program. 2,200. There was, I think, 14,000 people that went through that. 14,000. It's crazy. And I was not the only person. Does that make sense? When I was promoting Russell Brunson's Traffic Secrets product or book, I went and I asked, I think it was 12 experts on different traffic channels, would you please come in and teach for 1 hour your how you like to get traffic? And I brought all those together. And they knew I was doing that, right? Don't ever do anything sneaky or use someone's stuff for something they weren't intending. I always ask permission. You can get in hot water otherwise, right? It's just, plus it's just the right thing to do, right? So then I went in and I said, hey, would you mind if I bundle this together so that when someone buys Russell Brunson's Traffic Secrets book through me as an affiliate, they'll get your stuff. Very few people say no to that, right? They're getting paid in exposure, right? And so that exploded. We sold tons of Traffic Secrets books all organically. It just blew up. So my point is a lot of the offers that I see people going and creating are, they're good offers, but what they're missing is real time experts, coming in and teaching, like, real time, it's like, hey, this is what's working now. Does that make sense? Sometimes there is a, you know, as long as your courses and the stuff that you put out is baked in principle, it doesn't really change, right? Is people always ask, Steve, you made this course 3 or 4 years ago. Is it still relevant today? Like, yeah, because I don't make stuff that's flash in the pan. I hate that crap. Like, my stuff is in strategy and principles. But I get the concern, right? And so one of the ways that I combat that is by taking people who are industry experts in the day, in the moment, today, right now, so they can see whatever I'm teaching in the course through the eyes and through the mouth of another expert that is not me. Anyway, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of the episode. So I feel like I've bashed this one. But just ask yourself, who are the people that you would want to, you know, make a list? This is literally where I use the Dream 100. I made a list of 100 people that I would want to do some kind of collaboration with that have a unique expertise and skill. And I reached out to all of them. And I've done this multiple times, and only 20 or 30 will respond. So what? And then I'll just figure out something to do with them, or I'll figure out a way to kind of, you know, use them inside of the offer that I'm pushing or whatever. And it's such a key aspect. I mean, literally, P.T. Barnum proved that this is one of the biggest reasons his stuff blew up. I found this in, like, patterns from the 1800s. Right, he always included other influencers or prominent people. Always. He never put anything out ever that did not have somehow or some way or another a bigger or more prominent person involved in either the marketing or the offer itself. But I see people who go out, and no offense, they are obscure. No one knows their name. They don't have, they barely have an email list. They don't really, and then they're like, marketing doesn't work. Funnels don't work. The internet marketing space is a sham, right? They, I don't know what it is. And well, of course, nobody knows who you are yet, right? And if you don't have like the humana blessing and christening bless off of some other person that's larger than you, you are forced to only use things that are paid methods. Of course you have to use just ads, right? This is one of the biggest reasons why I have not really done that much with ads. It's one of the biggest reasons that even ClickFunnels never used paid ads to grow ClickFunnels for the first 2 years. What did Russell do to grow ClickFunnels for the first 2 years? I watched him do this. He did a webinar. It was a new JV webinar. Same freaking webinar, same stories. We all got sick of them. Doesn't mean they were the wrong stories. They're what sold the product. And what did he keep doing? Found another person, collaborated with another person. And he was collaborating with people who would let him pitch ClickFunnels, but he also was collaborating with other people who just would go give him exposure. That's why he and I were building funnels for massive people. People that were not even in the funnel space just for the street cred of it. We built funnels for CNBC, for the TV show The Profit. We were doing projects with Robert Kiyosaki and Tony Robbins. We were doing huge, and what's, so the collaboration aspect, if you got into the internet marketing space and the internet entrepreneurship game thinking that I can hide behind my computer screen and I don't have to go collaborate with anybody and I can just do this, I'm not saying there aren't people that figure that out, but you're stacking cards against you. This is still 100%, without question, absolutely still a team sport. And it cannot be done by just sitting siloed and soloed without talking to the people. You're gonna talk to other people. It's a fool's errand to try not to, right? And I'm hoping this, I know I'm getting really passionate about this, but it's just, I mean, I can look backwards and see where I made mistakes on this myself, where I like, you know what? I'm not gonna go, I'm gonna be soloed and siloed. You know what, Steve? I'm not gonna have other people inside my offer. Fine, then figure out how to do it with, in your marketing. Like, the cure to so much crap and really hard marketing and stuff that's been happening right now, collaborate, right? All right, I really got to get in here. I got my slides and people starting to show up. I'm going to go teach my Titans, baby. Oh, Titans of Industry. I freaking love it. I've wanted this for 5 years. It feels so good to finally be doing it. You guys are awesome. Go sell something.